Diana Stin.
And Jill Matt.
And welcome to our 28th
Squadcast!
Yay, you got it!
I did it. I know. It's these little celebrations.
Hey, listen, we have a busy podcast for you.
Mm-hmm.
Although before we start, I think an apology is in order.
Oh, gosh, what did we do now?
No, no, it wasn't you or anybody else. It was me when I was uploading our last podcast. I was in such a hurry to pack my suitcase and get going to Turkey for a wonderful visit.
Yes.
We were there with an Islamic Friendship Organization. Learned lots. Was a fabulous trip. But unfortunately, I forgot to upload the audio part of our podcast.
And I'm sitting there trying, well, why isn't it coming through iTunes? We're on iTunes now. There must be something wrong. I'm on the website. I'm trying to click it. I'm clicking the titling, not dawning on me that there's not the audio file there. And then Diana gets back and struggles away with trying to figure this out. The time that was
I know. And then suddenly I look at the website and discover I didn't upload the audio. So, folks, that podcast, podcast number 27, should be up on the iTunes and is on the website. And this podcast, number 28, will be up on iTunes and up on the website.
Yes.
As long as I remember to load it.
I bet you will never forget that again.
Probably not.
Obsessively check it from now on.
I probably will.
Yep.
Hey, listen, we wanted to start out with a couple of things. We have some nest news for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about what's hatching. We're going to do a little glance back through the tail feathers. And then we're going to focus on an article that recently was in the Edmonton Journal's blog.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, are you ready for some nest news?
I am ready. My feathers are fluffed.
Oh, that explains your hair today. Okay.
Well, it does, actually, in a weird way, yes.
Hey, we just recently were monitored by Alberta Education. And I have to say, it's a bit of a nerve-wracking kind of thing.
It is.
Every 3 years, private schools in this province are monitored.
Yeah.
So contrary to what various other critics say, this is a lot of supervision and regulation.
What? You mean we're not just out there freewheeling, doing whatever we want?
No, we're actually highly accountable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Same accountability pillars and measures as the public system, and more because we're monitored every 3 years. And
at a fraction of the cost.
And if parents don't like us, they walk away.
Yep.
But hey, monitoring worked out A-okay. We wanted to read you a little snippet of what Alberta Education wrote about Phoenix. They did a school tour and meetings with our teachers, and that provided them insight into how the Phoenix Home Education Foundation Center is addressing the learning needs of students and how we are achieving the vision articulated in Inspiring Education.
We're fully articulated.
There you go. So that was very interesting. They made some comments about how the overall school climate and environment is not only welcoming, but inviting and respectful. That administration strongly supports and promotes professional development of the staff as a means for school improvement, and we do a lot of that. The staff are very committed to the philosophy and mission of the school. I don't know, there's a whole bunch of things here. So really, thank you very much to Sharon Rhodes and to John Blevins. John is just finishing up a distinguished career at Alberta Education, so we appreciate his insight and his comments about the Phoenix Foundation.
Well, and he's watched us grow over these years as well, so it's quite nice to have someone who remembers earlier on, maybe
absolutely.
The very beginning, but has some context to put what we do in. And I think we're going to have a great time working with Sharon.
Yeah, I absolutely think so as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for that process. It was nerve-wracking, but we do appreciate...
Well, imagine any of your facilitation meetings and how you prepare and you want to show a broad range of the wonderful things you do. You know you're going to be getting some suggestions about how maybe this, but you're also going to be getting some great backpats and way-to-goes and... But it's stressful.
It is stressful. And you have to clean the house.
Oh, my gosh. That's why I like Phoenix facilitations, because I come here and I don't have to dust. But But I do have to come prepared with my paperwork and my pictures and stuff. So
I always laugh when people sort of portray homeschooling as the slacker's way. And I think, really? So is that the opinion you hold of the education system, that they're slacking off, that they're not doing a good job? Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. Because really, if you're doing a great job educating, teaching is hard work.
It is.
And whether you're teaching one child or you're teaching 30, mm-hmm. it's still the same work.
Yes. If you're doing it right, you're exhausted, but a happy exhausted.
Exactly.
Of course, talking about the slacker, we did comment that it got us out of cleaning house, which does seem kind of slackerish.
Well, okay. Right. Anyways, hey, let's move on to what's hatching.
Okay.
So you're very excited.
I am?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, dear, am very She segues faster than I do. It takes me a minute to read.
But CTV 2 is coming.
I know. They're going to be filming in our creation studio. No pressure at all. I have to make Egypt look catwalk ready. But I am. I'm very excited.
So what's going to happen is they're going to do a series of 2-minute short videos showing our students learning and how they extend learning and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So any of you who've watched in Daily Planet or How It's Made, you've probably seen these little snippets from like SAIT or ADLC or other educational things around the province. And so that's going to be Phoenix.
Yeah. And the cool part is we get to use these snippets on our own website.
I'm so excited.
I know. It'll make us look professional.
Oh, I hope they... Look, you edit to make us sound not too moronic, so I'm hoping they edit wisely.
I'm sure they will.
Well, so, I'm excited on several levels, though, because one, Phoenix gets to be in there. Two, the Creation Studio. Our little kids get to be in there. Our teenagers get to be in there, and they get to see the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Absolutely. I think it will be an excellent opportunity for everyone.
Yes.
So if you're interested in participating, keep an eye out for the details. Those will be forthcoming on our website and emailed out to our families.
Yeah.
Next busy day we have is the feast.
Yes, but it's a busy day with food.
It is, and so that always makes it just right. Food and busyness, yeah, perfect. In the morning, Bill Mert, one of our dads here, has organized Hug a Tree.
And holy has he organized. How many kids already are?
I know, I think a 19, 20... Yep. Five, I don't know, some odd kids.
He's on it.
Well, odd kids, anyways.
Odd staff.
Anyways, they are in signed up for the program.
Yeah.
It's a search and rescue program, and it's being provided free.
And what age group is this appealing to?
I think it's primarily grades 1 to 6 is the age group on it.
Okay.
But then everybody, of course, is invited afterwards to come to the feast, which starts at noon. And it's going to be Indian feast. So there is going to be butter chicken.
Chicken?
I know. We always have chicken.
So, wait a minute. So the Hug a Tree thing is before that, and it's free.
Yeah.
But you can certainly sign up for the feast, but you need to sign up ahead of time. And there is a fee for the feast, but we need to know how much chicken.
Exactly. So it's $10 per person or $40 for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have butter chicken, naan bread. I know. Maybe I'm hungry.
I know.
And different vegetable curry.
And vegetables and
all kinds of delicious stuff. So the building is going to smell fabulous.
I know.
And the food will be yummy. And then we have a guest belly dancer.
I have a belly.
Yeah, I do too.
Nobody wants to see it dance.
So maybe we'll just let the belly dancer do it.
Okay.
And I think that she will be encouraging the kids and the feast participants to actually join in and learn a little bit about belly dancing as well.
What fun.
We will move into our last theme, which is ancient Egypt. We will have our year-end ceremony, which should be excellent because all of those photographs of handing out awards and certificates will all be in front of the Great Pyramid.
Oh, and wait till you see it. We have, for designing Egypt for year-end, it has to be able to be broken apart quickly to make a large space to fit everybody in. And we figured out where we want our placement of the stage in it. Oh, I think it's going to be gorgeous. I'm so excited.
Now, listen, if you haven't seen our creation studio, you are welcome to book a tour. You can either go to our website and look at the open house dates that we have, and we have a whole schwack of them coming up.
Yep.
Or you are more than welcome to just give us a ring, 403-265-7701, and book a private tour.
Yeah.
And we would be delighted to show you of our creation studio. It is unimaginable. It's imaginable. It's unfathomable. It's wicked.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that. I'm like, oh, we're using big words today.
Sorry about that. I don't ever use them right, so we're all okay.
You admired my big word earlier today. Go. So that was it. I used my one big word today.
Let's take a quick glance back through the tail feathers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Before I went to Turkey, Phoenix was one of the three hosts that sponsored a joint provincial meeting for all the facilitators, homeschool facilitators in the province. It was a very interesting meeting, mm-hmm. and we enjoyed it very much. We really covered a lot of material in that full day session.
Yep.
It was held in Red Deer. And a funny thing, I had a meeting earlier in the week in Red Deer, uh-huh. and I went to the wrong hotel because I had in my mind that it was at the Sheraton and everything was at the Sheraton. And yeah, my first meeting wasn't at the Sheraton, so I was standing in the lobby looking like a complete idiot.
Oh.
But I did make it to the second meeting.
Yeah, okay,
which was later in the week, which was this one. And I actually knew where everything was.
Hey, there you go. A scouting project.
Yep, there you go. It started out by us having Alberta Education, Ron Taylor and Sharon Rhodes were there, and they gave us some information about the regulations and the new curriculum design project. As well, we also had somebody, and I'm sorry I forgotten the name, from Alberta Finance there to talk about some issues there. So we sort of covered off a bunch of that stuff. We also had Patty Marler there from the Alberta Home Education Association. And Patty, Ron, and I sit on a committee with regards to the new home education regulation. So we talked a little bit about that. Then because we were behind time...
How unlike anything.
We very quickly rolled into the next part, which was supposed to be a little snippet on the book Quiet, uh-huh. The Power of Introversion. Mm-hmm. And Jill and I are doing a workshop on April the 15th on that, so please feel free to join us. But in the meantime, I literally took what was supposed to be a 15-20 minute little presentation, and in 8 minutes covered the power of introversion and creativity tools, ideas for assessment.
Now, who wrote The Power of Introversion?
That would be Susan King. And it's a book we highly recommend that you check out. You can purchase it at Chapters.
Yep.
I think it's about $20.
Yep.
Tremendous read.
Wonderful. It's also available at the library.
Yep.
And she has some wonderful TED Talks.
Absolutely. Okay. So then we moved into a presentation by Brett on FOIP and PIPA, which if you don't know what those are.
They're boring. Sorry. I remember that workshop.
Yeah.
It took all day.
It is boring, but important stuff. It's about protecting
important.
Data.
Yes. You know, personal information. Yeah, data.
Yeah. Oh, but it gets even better because after that, we had Ari DeMore from the Private Schools Association do a wee presentation on the new whistleblower legislation and regulation.
Was that interesting?
No.
No. Okay. So it's nice they grouped all those in together. It was a
right.
restful little stretch of time.
Yeah. The basic deal with the whistleblower stuff is that anybody can report wrongdoing, but as employers, you can't punish somebody or fire them for reporting something that's illegal, immoral, or just downright wrong.
Hmm.
It makes perfect sense. It's mm-hmm. just sort of one more thing, unfortunately, that schools now have to attend to.
Yeah.
Okay. Then after a lovely lunch provided by Alberta Distance Learning, another one of our partners, mm-hmm. They did a little update, and we got to see some CTV2 snippets, because, of course, they've done something with them, and they were lovely, professional, and entertaining.
Awesome. Yeah. That makes us feel much more
Eager.
Yeah. Because we really weren't sure what to expect from that, but it's been such an interesting process so far.
Yeah. We kind of skipped over the symposium. Mm-hmm. Brett Bowers, the other host from Network North, and Brett is with Thee, and myself, Diana Stinn from the Phoenix Foundation, plus a bunch of us, also attended the symposium, the recent symposium in Calgary. And we kind of skipped over it a little bit because, honestly, there wasn't a lot of new information.
Mm-hmm. We already kind of covered that one.
Yeah, absolutely. We were supposed to do a little segment on the lingo, which unfortunately would have been really good to have had mm-hmm. because we talk different things. Yes. We talk apples and oranges.
Yes.
And people confuse the terminology, yes. and Alberta Ed uses certain words, we use certain words.
Yeah, there's slang, it makes it hard. There's shortcuts, but unfortunately, if you're not talking about the same thing, using the same language,
yeah.
you get shut down.
Yeah, absolutely. So we work very hard here at Phoenix to make sure that our families mm-hmm. use the correct terminology, that they use Alberta Education's wording mm-hmm. and understand their interpretation of things, because after all, they're the boss.
They are.
They pay the bills, and they are in charge of education in this province.
I'm pretty excited about this in particular, because we see this already, because we have a lot of new homeschoolers, but I'm sure you have all fallen into this, because I know I do, is when I first started homeschooling, a lot of that slang lingo was used. And I'll find myself sometimes just say something, but it's not correct.
Yes.
It's still an old habit. I have to consciously work to stay in using the proper term.
Yep.
So hopefully with all the new homeschoolers, and if we all the boards or all the school, I just did it myself. It's not all boards, but the schools themselves encourage their families to use the right lingo.
Yeah, absolutely. After that, we moved into a session where we invited Olds College, University of Lethbridge, Nate, Red Deer College, and King's University College mm-hmm. To talk to the room, basically, about the entrance requirements for home educators.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting and informative, and I encourage you to check out each one of those post-secondary organizations' websites. Mm-hmm. Very informative, and again, most of them very friendly to mm-hmm. home educators. Yeah, so then we wrapped it up and drove home.
Woohoo! And did you listen to an audiobook on your way home?
I do listen to a lot of audiobooks and a lot of podcasts.
Yes.
I enjoy them very much. Most of my podcasts are science-oriented ones, mm-hmm. and I like to keep abreast of what's happening in the world, what new technology, mm-hmm. new inspiration, new insights are out there. So, mm-hmm. yeah, check out iTunes and check out the podcast sections, because there's a lot of great podcasts. Oh. And, of course, all podcasts that are on iTunes have to be free.
I like that.
I do like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after that, one of the things that you guys did while I was away was get
you
some money.
You found out about that? We all swore we weren't going to tell.
About what?
Oh, nothing.
Hey, but you did get some money.
We did. We had a special visitor one day, a surprise visitor, and Mo Amory, our MLA, came on down and handed us a check. So
Yay!
As much as I hate being, near the front, I am Ed McMahon on the couch. I will shake his hand. I will shake Amy's hand for a check. I will smile.
Well, that's interesting, Jill.
Okay, maybe not. But yeah, I smile for the camera,
Yep.
And he's a very nice man, so it's easy to make chit-chat with him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it was our SIP grant, and mm-hmm. it was for the purchase of some new iPads. And I very naively filled out the application last May, thinking that it would be processed and everything looked after, and we'd get either the yay or the nay.
Yes.
By September.
You're so cute.
I know I am, but...
Are you new at this whole government thing?
Look, I'm still wet behind the ears.
You are. Oh, that's so cute.
Anyways, but happy it came through, and yay, we use iPads a lot here at Phoenix.
Oh, our students, they're using them today, so
They are not the mode of instruction.
No.
They are not our primary tool by any stretch, but they are
one tool in our toolbox.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you use a pencil, sometimes you use an ink pen, sometimes you use a computer, sometimes you use an iPad. Sometimes.
Anyways, all very exciting. So we appreciate that. And thank you very much to the Alberta government for funding our new iPads.
Exactly.
Hey, next week, we're not going to do any good eggs, bad eggs this time around.
Nope.
Although next week we really should, because it's getting close to Easter and there's lots of eggs.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hard-boiled eggs, fried eggs.
Sorry. Colored eggs. You wanted to review Brave Rider.
I do.
And the Minecraft School.
I do. Brave Rider's been on my radar for a long time, and I've used it intermittently with my son, not so much my daughter, because I found it later on.
Yep.
wonderful philosophy, wonderful plans, focus on language arts. And Minecraft, as far as I can tell, this Minecraft homeschool sounds like just the cat's meow is where I'm going to go. Wasn't the thing on the
Yep, but this is a family podcast.
This is. I was struggling for the right word. So I want to look into it a little bit more. And I have a friend who's been using it extensively with her son and has encouraged his learning so much.
Okay, so that will be next week, people.
Yep.
Please make sure that you tune in for our next podcast and that little bit of a review.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's move on to a beak off.
Oh,
we have a bit of a beak off.
My iPad so I can see the article.
We have a bit of a beak off here. It's an interesting article that we found that was posted in the Edmonton Journal's blog section.
Mm-hmm.
It was posted by David Staples, but I believe the author is Stuart. Whoa. Hey, do you know how to say that? W-A-C-H-O-W-I-C-Z.
Yeah.
Okay, well, David, or Stuart, we apologize for not being able to properly pronounce your last name, but here goes some comments and criticisms of your article entitled, Alberta Education's Radical Curriculum Reform Will Damage Economy, Limit Our Children's Future, Curriculum Expert Says.
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a title.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really?
Could they take a big deep breath before you start on that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's also going to be in here 5 ways that the Alberta government's radical, inspiring education plan for transforming our schools will hurt our children.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiring education was something that was taken to the people. There was a ton of roundtable discussions. It was one of our largest consultation projects in the entire province.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of Albertans participated. And what came out of that was what Albertans wanted for their new education system.
The people who showed up, who put in their information, their wishes, dreams.
And, you know, these were average Albertans.
Yep.
Farmers, homeschoolers, doctors, dentists, stay-at-home moms.
Catholic.
Totally.
Charter.
Everybody. Superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers.
Mm-hmm.
From all walks of life, all denominations, all backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So I find it a little bit insulting when this fellow, who is a curriculum expert, is saying that what we want as Albertans will hurt our children. But
again,
it's an expert
for
thing.
The correct word.
Jill's actually holding her lips closed at this moment.
Kind of like a suck the lemon.
One of the opening paragraphs here talks about an incident by Professor Judith Adler of Memorial University of Newfoundland.
Mm.
And it goes on to talk about how, you know, she discovered kids can't read and write. Okay, people, this is a horrible example.
Yep.
Horrible.
Well, they're on several fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Why would be one? Because they're examining students who've been educated in the system they're
supposedly
saying is working.
Yeah, exactly. But a more important thing is that it's Newfoundland.
Yeah.
So does this guy not recognize that education is a provincial matter and it goes from province to province to province? So bringing up examples from Newfoundland, hello, what does it have to do with Alberta?
But I'm seeing a lot of that in here. There's some American, there's some...
Yep,
so
exactly.
We're not dealing with just...
The next thing he goes on to talk about, knowledge is the competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
We totally agree.
Yep. I'm in.
And if you look at the curriculum redesign,
mm-hmm.
one of the big things in the curriculum redesign process is the fact that there is a focus, the primary focus, is on literacy and numeracy. Everything
what?
Else is secondary.
They seem to think that's important.
We do, too.
Yeah, we really do. We stand behind that. Yes.
Yeah. I had to laugh, though, because the next paragraph says, taxpayers assume that their dollars are funding an education system that ensures the upcoming generation is gaining basic knowledge and skills.
Mm-hmm.
People, really? I have not found that at all, because when we talk to people, they want to know, is there a shop program? Is there a hairdressing program? Will my child learn to cook? Who will teach them morals and values? Is there a business class? Is there computer programming class.
Second language.
These are not basic skills, people. These are needed skills for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
But the other side of it is, if we just had to focus on basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, okay, that would be really easy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No.
Then he gives some more examples, and guess what? They're American examples.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Not to dish America, but it's not Canada.
They have different needs.
Yeah, totally.
And they have different issues. They have some really big issues they're dealing with. We have some big issues, but they're different.
Yep. Then he goes on to talk about the real threat to public schools, unproven educational theories.
Hmm.
Okay. So in here, he talks about how thousands of people have placed their children in private schools paying high tuitions.
Mm-hmm. High tuitions. I don't know. What was our tuition this year?
Zero. Yeah. And we're not the only private school in the entire province that charges no tuition.
No.
I think this guy, you know, absolutely there are some that charge, the majority of private schools in the province charge approximately $6,000 tuition.
Yeah.
And they receive approximately $5,000 from the province.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they're operating on roughly $11,000 per student.
Mm-hmm.
The average student in the public system, not a special needs.
Just average.
Yep. Yeah, costs the public system $15,000 per kid.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Well, and again, what percentage are the private and charter and what the 4%?
4%, and that includes homeschooling families, like you and me.
Yeah.
So really, you know, looking at the broader picture, the 96%.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I have about private schools here, it talks about enrolling them because of the knowledge and skills for success. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Some private schools are academically inclined,
mm-hmm.
but some are also religious-based. Some are methodology-based.
Yep, sports-based.
Sports-based,
arts, sciences. Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. So really, please, people, take a look at the diversity, public and our private system.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of diversity, and not all schools are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, very different.
Then he talks about the ministerial order that came out on May 6, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting because he says it contradicts the School Act.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the old one.
Yes.
Does he not realize we have a new school act that is supposed to come out here in the next year,
mm-hmm.
2015?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the basic goals of the outcome were upgraded sooner.
Yes.
But the whole school act comes out in 2015. And the reason why the delay? Because all of the regulations, every school's policies, procedures in the entire province all have to be rewritten.
Yeah.
And I appreciate
staggering it.
Yes, very much so, because
it is
a ginormous task.
Yeah, this isn't just like we'll sit down for an afternoon and just pound that out.
Yeah. So the reality is the new ministerial order of the basic goals of education absolutely aligns with the new School Act.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Yay!
So the next section there is talking about Alberta Education's ill-advised move to inquiry learning. And he uses the concepts or the labels discovery learning, inquiry learning, or child-centered learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically he's inferring that this methodology mm-hmm. of education doesn't work.
Wait, I'm pursing my lips again. Because we have seen this work.
Yep.
Absolutely. We see this as working. Now, again, one little side.
Yep.
This is a lot of work on behalf of the parent or the teacher who's in charge of giving this good, solid material for these kids when they're interested.
Yep.
And having it, you need to be on your toes. You're working hard. You're not sitting back.
Right.
Slacking. Now,
so I think both you and I would say that we did a child-centered program with our students, our kids, when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, for us, it looked like the child expressed an interest in something.
Yep.
And then we ran around like complete idiots, finding resources, taking them to the library, looking at field trips, all those kinds of things that extended their interest and expanded their learning.
Exactly.
And then you and I, on top of all of that, then went, okay, that is lovely, but now you need to write a paragraph about mm-hmm. that. Or how about we do a video that captures your learning? Mm-hmm. Or how about, oh, I found a math sheet that has dinosaurs on it.
Yay! Or look, here's a picture of you on this field trip. You need to write a letter to Grandma telling her what we did.
Exactly.
And then photocopying it for the facilitator.
Exactly. Reminder, though, we call our facilitators here
learning coaches. See, that lingo thing again.
That absolutely works. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, our kids have a strong sense of being, understanding that they have the capacity to learn.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our kids spend hours exploring things that are of interest to them.
Yes.
So they still have retained that natural curiosity yeah. about learning.
Well, and what I find interesting, too, is they also have a very good sense of assessing what is a reliable learning tool. Because, you know, we're not the ones hunting it down anymore and putting it in front of them. They're old enough now, they hunt down their own information. So is this a reliable source?
Right.
And assessing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There are adults who can't do that.
I mean, realistically, looking here and saying child-centered, mm-hmm. Inquiry learning, discovery learning, there are some issues. And mm-hmm. we talked about this with our last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do with a kid who is six mm-hmm. and what you do with a student who is 16
mm-hmm.
in the same methodology looks very different.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy goes on to make sort of the assumption that Alberta teachers will never give any student any information.
Yeah, what is this? Are they going to sit at their desk with their feet propped up playing Candy Crush? No! They're going to be busy!
Absolutely.
Busy!
Yeah, and
because
I mean,
all those kids are not going to have the exact same interest at the same time. So hopefully they'll be able to group them and maybe funnel them a little bit more into their groups of common interest. This is going to be very difficult to do in the school, in the classroom.
Yes.
My heart goes out to those teachers because they are going to be busy.
And I think it is going to do a lot to weed out good teachers from bad teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Good teachers will be able to manage in this environment and students will thrive.
Yes.
Bad teachers are going to run screaming from the classroom. And you know what? That's not altogether bad.
It's not. There are other places for teachers sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
because the other thing that sort of picks my butt about this...
She said that.
Is the fact that we have a curriculum.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's a new curriculum,
yeah.
it's still teachers who are doing this.
Yeah.
So there is a complete assumption that our PISA skills
mm-hmm.
are... test results, our PISA mm-hmm. test results. These are the international results every year or every few years, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Alberta students who are 15 years old participate in these international tests, and it compares against other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it makes an assumption that the only thing that has changed is the curriculum.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that is affecting. Okay, how about teachers?
Yes.
Every single survey or experiment that they do,
yep.
the number one influencer of kids is the teacher in the classroom and the parent at home.
Yes. Parents, don't give up your rights and your job.
Yep.
Be involved.
Absolutely.
It is proven. The more involved parents are, the better their kids do in everything.
Right. So take, for example, parents, kids come home with the new math program.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are the parent that has started the petition in mm-hmm. Alberta, and your student comes home with the new math concepts, and you look at it and you say, wow, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. This is not how we did it when we were kids. What kind of dumb stuff is this? What does your student take away? Well, this yep. is dumb. Mm-hmm. I don't need to learn this. This is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
This is boring. This is whatever. So
yep.
obviously, if there's no importance placed on it.
Yep, exactly.
Then they don't do well in it.
Well, and I think, sadly, being a parent who is occasionally, okay, every single time I've looked over my son's shoulder and seen the math he's doing, I am in awe of this. Again, I'm an artist, not a math mind, but this stuff was never put before me in high school. I can't believe what he is able to do and capable of doing and understanding. And, you know, I was excited. I got to, you know, actually show him how to draw a sphere. That's been the only input in his math I've had in years.
How
exactly do I draw a sphere? I can help with that.
Yay!
But, you know, again, I think parents are often feel self-conscious because their children are doing, in many cases, higher level math than they're capable of doing.
Yes.
So what do we do, kind of a knee-jerk reaction, is criticize it as, well, it's not like the good old days, or demean it because we feel self-conscious that in our children's eyes, we sometimes
we're
not like
perfect.
To think we want them to think we know everything.
I gave that up a long time ago.
I knew how to draw a sphere.
I would say, I look at Megan and I say, honey, mommy needs help with the VCR.
Yeah.
Honey, my iPad not working.
Yeah. Please help me. So, you know, I think that sometimes parents feel very self-conscious that, you know, and again, if it's not a skill we use in our day-to-day lives, we have other skills we need to remember, and that stuff gets flushed away.
Yeah.
So I think that's sad. But
so then he goes on in his article to talk about the five main drawbacks of Alberta Education's planned reforms. First one is reduced thinking and problem-solving skills. Well, this one really made me laugh because the ministerial order that he absolutely criticized, one of the primary things in here, point number four, subsection B, says, think critically.
Really?
Conceptualize, apply, analyze, synthesize, and evaluate to construct knowledge.
Wow.
I know. The next one says identify and solve complex problems.
Well, you know, obviously they're just glossing over all of that.
Which makes me laugh because a lot of the criticism that the past curriculum has had is that it's regurgitation.
Yeah.
It's memorization, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. No one is saying that kids won't learn basic information and material. You can't function if you don't know your alphabet and you don't know all these
multiplication tables. Absolutely. And things like that.
Yep. So those kinds of things. But what I find hysterical is that this guy is talking about the fact that it's going to reduce thinking and problem solving. And that's the whole purpose of the new curriculum.
And I got to say, he also goes to criticize at one point here about, you know, kids will be reliant on their calculators and things like that. Yes, absolutely. As an adult, I'm reliant on my calculator, and I was educated within the public system. But what we see, our kids have their calculator, their computer in the palm of their hand. They come across a problem, they're pounding it out. They're not going, I don't want to know that bad enough, or I'll deal with that later and look that up. They're like, oh, tap, 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 and they have computed an answer. They have pursued it.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I think is kind of different from when we went to school, is that if there was something that twigged your curiosity, you had to go to and look at it later. Maybe make a trip to the library
or
whatever.
Remember the file, the little, the big
the
long
file cards.
Drawers with the file cards?
I actually quite like those. But now, how many times, totally, how many times have we in the course of today's podcast even pulled out our iPad or our phone and looked something up?
Yep, absolutely.
So kids are asking questions.
Yeah.
And society is asking questions.
Yes, the information's at the tip of their fingers, literally, in the moment they want it. And they're picking it up and finding it.
Absolutely. I had to laugh. I had a discussion with one of our past teachers here at Phoenix. And she said, yeah, what I have noticed is that kids don't ask questions anymore. Mm-hmm. And I laughed because I visually then watched my daughter throughout the course of the day to say, is she not asking questions? Like, do teenagers not ask questions? Mm-hmm. And what was happening was she was asking questions, but they were posed this way. I don't understand this word. So she'd type in a word and look it up on Google or a dictionary, a mobile dictionary, and get the answer right away.
Yeah.
So, yes, it wasn't a question in the sense of, what does this word mean?
Yeah.
No, she just typed in the word and away we went.
And
but that's still a question.
But think of the time management there. Had to get up, get her papers in order, get up, go find someone who could answer it, or go find the material, hunt it down. No, she's right there at the right there. But on the other side, I want to argue that, is that when you do see these kids asking questions, when you have a piece of information, common interest, or goal that they want to know about, they will quiz you and just bleed you dry of information until they feel they have everything either they wanted or that you have to give, and they'll move on.
Yeah.
So quite often they're very interested.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of the little, and I'm going to put it little, even though they may be big questions, but so many of the common questions can be answered right there, tip of your fingers, typed in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The next one talks about redefining the meaning of curriculum, the loss of choice. Okay. So people, there are 1,400 objectives in the current curriculum.
1,400.
So how about Alberta Education is proposing, and this is still all in draft. If you were sitting here with us today,
and
you could
furious.
You could look over at our desktop and see the proposal about the new curriculum and what some of the basics are.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the curriculum protocol guide,
mm-hmm.
it says prototyping is only the initial step in the development of provincial curriculum. There's a whole bunch of things involved. So what's happening right now is the basic outcomes, the basic objectives, the basic background and philosophy mm-hmm. has been sent out to four large school boards in the province, and their teachers are actually working with those concepts in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Having input into what's important and what's not important. So the people who are actually doing the day-to-day teaching are actually involved in the development of the curriculum. That's very exciting.
That is very exciting.
They are trying to reduce down the content and put in place some more important things. So more about the process rather than the content.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, an example of that is communicate mm-hmm. Important information about a global issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That totally opens up the choice of how to.
Yes.
It doesn't say write a 5-paragraph essay.
No.
It says communicate.
Yeah.
So that could be a video,
yeah.
a blog post. Twitter might be a bit, you know.
And
then, maybe.
Yeah, that might not work. And believe it or not, there are some kids, and we have met them now and then, who will actually go the essay route.
Absolutely.
Because
but
that's
it's a choice.
How they like to organize their thoughts. Or maybe they need to try something new because, frankly, we can't always share our thoughts, such as in this podcast, in an essay.
Yes.
We need to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next one on there is the loss of standards and consistency. I don't know, Jill, what do you think about that?
I have no standards and I'm not consistent.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, you know. But what my comment here is, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a prediction. This is like talking about Apple's new iPhone 6, and it isn't even out yet.
Yeah.
People are commenting and criticizing,
well,
and it doesn't even exist yet.
They're making assumptions and just, yeah, like you say, we don't know.
Yep. So how about we wait before we make that comment?
But one thing we do know about the good old days, the existing curriculum, the existing... There are problems. We know there are problems.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
So let's take a look at perhaps a new way of looking at it.
Yep. Number four is the inordinate application of technology. Okay. I didn't see that anywhere in all of this. Yes, absolutely. Technology is a part of our lives. And kids do need to know how to use it.
I will agree with one other point.
Okay.
No printed textbooks. It's darn near impossible to find textbooks because we've been trying to find them for our crates.
Yes, we have.
It's a nightmare. And I disagree with that. I agree. I love my iPad.
Yep.
But I'm sorry. I also like a textbook with some post-it notes sticking out of it.
Yes.
And
something
like that.
You can highlight. And I like to doodle in the margin.
Yes.
Sorry, all you book lovers.
Oddly enough, I'm the artist and I don't doodle. But I do like to do notes.
So from that regard, mm-hmm. you know, some of us are traditional in the sense that we do like our printed textbooks and things like that. But technology is a tool,
mm-hmm.
and it's still going to be up to the teacher, to the learners, to school boards, to private schools, charter schools, to make some policy about how technology is used.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know some people who, you know, their laptop, the kids are glued to the laptop and everything, all their learning is done through the laptop, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah. Okay, we don't agree with that.
Hmm. No.
There is no replacement for the zoo. There is no replacement for going on a fabulous trip to another country.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, but that is an individual thing, and
yeah.
people have to come to terms with that.
Yes.
Technology is something sort of new and shiny at the moment, and people like to employ it. But it is not the end-all and be-all, and people will recognize that, and it will come to find its place.
And, you know, truly, this has been an argument, well, you know, that rock music, you know, those shaking hips, that Elvis, you know, television.
Elvis.
Yes, television has been horribly accused of terrible things. And yes, if you are doing absolutely nothing but watching American Dad or whatever, it can be darn funny now and then, but you're not going to get a good education. But there are some excellent documentaries. There are excellent world views, news. You can see all over the world right there.
Yes.
It is a tool.
And it depends on how you use that tool.
Yes. I wouldn't drill a hole with a hammer. Okay, I have. But, you know, there's a lot of filling afterwards. You know, so use your tools wisely.
So the last point that he makes is reduced Alberta competitiveness. You know, I heard this the other day, something about, somebody said, you know, we've been telling the world that we are number one for a long time, and then we seem surprised that they show up and want to live here.
Well, that's true.
So, yep. Reduced competitiveness in the global market. What's interesting is I've met lots of educators who come from, and they're quoting, for example, the Chinese system.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese people think their system is horrible.
Yep.
They recognize it as being rote memorization.
Yep.
It kills their students, the
yep.
stress it places on them, the students' happiness level.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you and I talked about this before the podcast, about there's more to life than just education.
Well, or doing well on the test.
Right.
Because education goes on through life.
Yes. And, yeah, let's correct
but
that.
But let's correct that.
For
because
sure.
Then doing well on the test. It's a blip in your life. Even if you go through all the university in your whole life of 90 years, that was a blip. You did excellently for a blip.
Yeah. And, I mean, science tells us that test results are fabulous indicators of how well you do on tests.
Mm-hmm.
They don't indicate what you're going to do with your life,
or
who you're going to
be happy,
yeah.
involved, if you're going to be a good citizen, if you're going to be engaged in life. No, no, you just are really good at tests.
Mm-hmm. So, and what we find interesting is a lot of top-notch universities around the world are looking for home-educated students.
Yeah.
Because they have followed a child-centered learning. They are passionate learners.
Wait a minute. The inquiry-based. They know how to inquire. They know how to critically think. They know how to pursue. And they are often rabid pursuers.
They are. So, you know, I'm not sure. It's an interesting article, but I think based on the fact that it's using a lot of American content, other provinces as examples and things
mm-hmm.
like that, and drawing some really broad conclusions that we haven't yet seen.
Yeah.
I will grant it that the new math curriculum is having some challenges.
Yes.
But again, people, look at what you're saying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Are kids then hearing what you're saying and also putting that same emphasis on that?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure we've totally given it a fair kick at the cat.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, the new curriculum development that says as long as a kid can do this,
mm-hmm.
maybe we don't care how they get to that.
Yeah. Honestly, is it any different? You know, dear son, please unload the dishwasher. Do I care if he does it that second? Okay, maybe if I'm on a time frame or whatever, but, you know, if there's nothing going on. Or do I care if he does it an hour? Do I care if he does it while he listens to music? Do I care if he does it while eating a bowl of potato chips?
Okay, here I thought you were going to go in his underwear.
No. But we'll go shorts or jeans or a t-shirt. I don't want
okay,
nobody walking around in their underwear in my house. I'm sorry. Do that in your room. Yeah, but I mean, do we really care? You know,
right.
there was a full year my son did math under the dining room table. He did his math. He did great in his math. But for whatever reason, he'd sit under the dining room table with the talk. Oh, gosh.
Maybe
that
Ben
helped. So terrible.
So the conclusion, basically, that this guy has drawn is that Albertans must demand a full stop to Minister Jeff Johnson's inquiry learning reforms. And my answer to this is no. It's not Jeff Johnson's reforms. This is what Albertans have asked for.
All Albertans who put input in, who cared enough to put input in.
Right.
This is what they've asked for.
And this is what they thought was the pathway to the future. Mm-hmm. And this is what was going to prepare our students for the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Like I said, interesting article. You can read it online at the Edmonton Journal's blog post.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe leave your thoughts and ideas there, too. Or you're welcome, of course, to leave us some thoughts and ideas. We're always interested in what you have to say. Really?
Really? We are?
Okay, guys. This wraps up our podcast for today. So please feel free to check out our website at www.phoenixfoundation.ca. We are now accepting registrations for next year.
So exciting.
I know. I got to get mine in.
I will not be the last one this year.
Yay, Jill. Okay, well, this is Diana Stinn.
And Jill Mann.
And we'd like to say thanks very much. And we hope your educational journey is...
happy, healthy, and lifelong.